First, though, he has been acting in his job for almost 3 years, just confirmed several weeks ago before Congress went out for the holiday break and the New Year break, and he is now confirmed officially to a 15-year term as Comptroller General of the United States. Gene Dodaro joining me, and General, congratulations. You've got 15 years ahead of you in the job that you've been working in for a couple. How do you feel about that?
Well, Francis, I'm very pleased. I'm, feel honored and privileged to receive the support from the bipartisan congressional commission and the support from President Obama and the full Senate in confirming me. I'm very pleased to be able to lead the GAO in this challenging time ahead for our country. And I'm excited at the prospects of continuing to work with my very dedicated and talented colleagues here at the GAO.
You have a sufficient amount of experience at the agency, and as I said, almost 3 years as the acting Comptroller General to have developed your own individual vision for the agency. Talk about that a little bit and what you can do now that you couldn't do when you took over as acting Comptroller General.
Well, first of all, my vision is rooted in the basic mission of the GAO, which is to support the Congress in carrying out its constitutional responsibilities and help improve the performance of the federal government and ensure the accountability for the benefit of the American people. Doing that means that GAO and my vision for it is to continue to provide broad-based support to the institution of the Congress. We do work for every standing committee and have done work for approximately 70% of the subcommittees. So it's very important for us to understand the national issues that are important, that are critical, what the congressional priorities are across the spectrum of congressional committees. Now, against that broad backdrop, I would like to give additional emphasis, even greater emphasis, to identifying and resolving high-risk areas.
Mm-hmm.
And as a confirmed Comptroller General, with a long tenure, I'll have the ability to elevate attention to those areas, both within the executive branch and continuing to work with the committees across the Congress to help bring about sustained attention and emphasis and give greater specificity to help solve those problems. If those high-risk problems can be solved, we can save billions of dollars, improve services to the public, and greatly improve the performance of the federal government. And I also want to make sure that we have continued emphasis on the government's financial condition and long-range fiscal outlook and provide the Congress with information to help make informed policy choices that will be necessary to put the federal government on a long-range, sustainable fiscal path. Lastly, I want to give greater emphasis to financial literacy. And this is an area where GAO has a strong foundation of work in looking at financial literacy programs and actions across the federal government to promote them. But I think the Comptroller General position that I'm in now, as confirmed the Comptroller General, will give me the ability to work across the federal government with state and local governments, with people in the private sector and academia to help lend our voice to the need for greater financial literacy in the country, which will help citizens make more informed choices. And that's a very important area that I'd like to give some attention to during my 15-year tenure as well.
That's a really interesting basket of goals that you have set, and I'm particularly interested in the financial literacy element of it because I think that's one area that that is really, really sorely lacking in our country at all levels. And there are a lot of folks who would make the wise comment, and I think understandably so, that you have 535 students potentially to start with. Just across the country, I mean, even down to the elementary, middle, and high school level, my son is in a program where he's in an accelerated math class and learning some really complicated math principles, and yet nobody's ever explained, other than me, the idea of what's behind, using a credit card or keeping a checkbook balance and that kind of thing. How far down do you think your agency should be working with educating people on financial literacy? Is it just at a government level? Is it maybe working with state and local governments, or does it go down all the way to the rank and file citizen?
Well, I would like to continue to evolve that concept, Francis, and exactly where we can best leverage to try to help in this area. And certainly the education field is critical in this important area. Right now, the Wall Street Reform Act that was just passed has a mandate for GAO to study the different methods, tools, and strategies that have been used to promote financial literacy in the country, and we'll be reporting out on that later this summer. And so I'm hoping that that will inform our strategies going forward. We've also looked at the Financial Literacy Commission that's been created at the federal level. It involves a wide variety of federal agencies, and so we'll be reviewing that. I've already been in touch with, over the years, the AICPA has a financial literacy initiative as well, and there are other initiatives underway. In fact, we just hired a new chief actuary here at GAO who had been involved in some of their financial literacy efforts. So first order of business will be to survey the range of efforts that are underway, understand through our study what's been effective, where the gaps are, and then figure out an appropriate role for GAO in that area in consultation with the Congress. I mentioned that or my confirmation hearing that I will continue to keep the Congress involved in this and to make sure that they understand what our initiatives are. And so we'll be working to see what the appropriate role for GAO is and how far it should go down. But ultimately, though, we want to have the programs in our country empower citizens to make their own individual good choices. And that's, I think, a good goal for us all.
Let's talk about the high-risk list for a little bit. As you look at the list, there are some programs that are relative to some of the others on the list, not large, but have been on there for a long time. And then there are others that are just tremendously huge and but maybe relatively new to the list. How do you, as the Comptroller General, go about prioritizing both the efforts that need to go into what you talked about earlier as far as making people aware of what's going on there, and working through, working with the agencies and so on to get some of these things off of there finally?
Yeah, well, first of all the areas on the high-risk list are important to me. Each has a different strategy depending, as you point out, on the status of the efforts to make improvements. We will be providing our update as we do with each new Congress soon, and you'll see in the update that there's been, you know, legislative initiatives to address some of these areas over the past couple of years since our update. There have been efforts by the executive branch agencies as well. I've also worked with OMB to continue a practice that was started in the last administration, but to elevate attention to it, and that is having regular meetings between the agencies on the high-risk list, OMB, and GAO. And those meetings focus on what needs to be done, what progress has been made, but more importantly, how additional efforts can be made in order to reduce things to the appropriate level that we would take them off the list. So by elevating the attention in the executive branch, and I've been personally participating in those meetings, along with the leadership of the agencies and high-level officials at OMB, in order to ensure that there's sustained attention to these areas. And I'm dedicated to continuing that effort and working with the appropriate congressional committees to ensure that all those areas make progress. I think much more is possible as long as there's sustained attention to it and good follow-through and having good interim measures to know what degree of progress is being made. So I'm very encouraged by the response of the administration to attention to these areas, and I look forward to working with the Congress and the administration to help resolve them.
What is your strategy to keep the attention focused on those so that a year from now or 2 years from now or 3 years from now, these people at the agencies aren't just throwing up their hands and saying, oh, well, this is just how this is going to be, and we're not going to be able to do anything about it?
Well, a couple of things, Francis. One, regular congressional oversight is a very important part of this effort to keep attention on these areas. For example, the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, particularly the subcommittee led by Senator Kok and Voinovich, have held regular hearings on some of the high-risk areas in the last Congress, and I would expect that to continue in both the Senate and the House in this 112th Congress that has just convened. So working with the committees and keeping regular oversight underway is an important strategy to keep this on the forefront of everybody's mind, but also working at other levels, which is regular meetings between GAO and the agencies, regular meetings between GAO, the agencies, and OMB, measuring progress, and also being as specific as we can in GAO to point to areas in needing improvement, maintaining our independence, and to make sure that the agencies have the full benefit of our thinking of what needs to be done to resolve these areas. And I think the combination of all those efforts will yield important outcomes.
GAO regularly is at the top or near the top of the best places to work list in government. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you about your vision for keeping GAO up there, keeping the workforce engaged, and so on. My guest is Gene Dodaro. He's the Comptroller General of the United States. And we're on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The new Comptroller General of the United States is Gene Dodaro. He's my guest on In Depth today. And I mentioned before the break, Gene, that GAO regularly is at or near the top of the best places to work in government list. I know that's something you're very proud of. What do you have in mind, or what are your goals for keeping the agency where it is when it comes to places to work in government?
Well, it's very important that we have a well-motivated, talented workforce to meet our mission and to serve Congress and the American people effectively. And one of the main issues and reasons people come to GAO and they stay here is because we do interesting work on national issues and we have the ability to make a difference. So making sure that we're working on the right issues is always at the top of my list. But that being said, you need to have a good work environment that's family friendly. We have a good commitment to telework arrangements here, flexible schedules. We have a child care facility here at the GAO building, a fitness facility. And so making sure also that we listen to our employees. We have regular meetings with our union, with our non-unionized workforce. I have a diversity advisory council that we've created. We've developed diversity and inclusion plans and continually to seek input from our employees who are trained to evaluate other agencies have terrific ideas. And so maintaining an openness and a willingness to listen to their ideas and suggestions and work them through in a collaborative fashion yields continuous improvement to our workplace environment. And I think that's very, very important going forward. So we will be continuing to do that. We also have reached our first collective bargaining agreement with our new union. It's in the process now being ratified. We went through an interest-based bargaining approach, and I think that that yielded some good outcomes, and it was on a scale of how quickly those agreements are to be made that moved along very well. I was very pleased with that. So maintaining constructive working relationships there are very important. We also have a high commitment to our training programs here at GAO. People that work here like to continuously learn, improve their professional competencies, and so maintaining a proper working environment is very, very important. And then lastly is to ensure that all of our policies and procedures and practices for evaluation and promotion and other decisions that are made are viewed as being done in a fair, equitable environment where people feel respected and treated equitably. And I have, it's a paramount interest to me is to make sure that that happens. And all of my efforts are devoted to continuing to make improvements in that area as well.
Are there elements of any of those things that you want to develop more, that you want to devote more resources to, that you want to assign more personnel power to, anything in that area?
Yes, Francis, there is. Our personnel appraisal and performance management system right now is undergoing a comprehensive evaluation. We did a very thorough evaluation of our system that had been in place for, you know, approximately 7 years now. It needs revamped, and people want to have a new system that's simpler, focuses on development and more of a priority, and to have a more transparent process. So we've have a contractor in working with us now. We're building it up from the employee level. We have a lot of participation from the union and other employees in the GAO, and I'm hopeful that we can come up with a new system where we can have as much consensus as possible on the merits of it and helping it achieve its objectives. So that's a big priority for us right now. And then once we have that in place, then you can work to build other aspects around it. But if you don't have a system that everybody has a lot of faith in and is implemented consistently, it's hard to undertake other initiatives in that area. We also have a great focus on diversity. We're doing more training now from an inclusion standpoint. It's very important. We are have a very diverse workforce already. 57% of our workforce are women, 30% minorities. And it's important that we reflect the diversity of our country and the elected officials that we serve, and that we work together to maximize the talents and abilities and skills and perspectives of all our employees. And so we have an effort dedicated to that as well.
General, I appreciate your time. I know that even though you've been essentially doing a similar job since you've been confirmed that you were doing before you confirmed, I know that's a very busy one, and I appreciate you taking so much time to be with me this afternoon.
It's always a pleasure, Francis.
Indeed it is. Gene Dodaro is the Comptroller General of the United States, my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You can hear our conversation posted later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. The Defense Secretary Robert Gates talking about efficiencies, as he calls them, budget cuts, some other people are referring to them as, talking about those at the Pentagon. You'll hear some highlights of this conversation, Secretary Gates and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Mike Mullen, in just a moment on In Depth on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.